our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Well, our first word is to settle in here. In the scripture, when something is a culture, and that something happens to be a fact, you should be worried. Clearly, the preacher thinks the sermon is going to be so long that they are going to be on the platform. That may be part of the problem about it, but they're not. Take the season, and I'm not speaking of the flu season or the COVID season, and no, I'm not speaking of Advent, which won't begin until next week. And I'm certainly not speaking of Christmas. I'm speaking of the end of the year, so I can take them season. The time of year when my mailbox is full of mail from every non-profit agency that I have ever supported, and many more who I've never supported. All reminding me that if I give to their organization before December 31st, I can take it off on my taxes. When I ran a nonprofit, we avoided the rush, beginning in October and finished with a big event the day after Thanksgiving. I personally disregarded most of the solicitations. In fact, I generally throw them away in the bin right at the mailbox rather than taking them into my apartment. On Thursday, however, I received a solicitation from Homeboy Pizza Industry of Los Angeles. This solicitation not only made it into my apartment, but also into the room. You know, that must have been because I thought this was a cause I wanted to support. And it is true. Homeboy Industry is the largest non-profit gang intervention and rehabilitation program in the world. It was established in 1988 in East Los Angeles by Jesuit Father Gregory Wall. When I met Greg that same year, he was working at the Dolores Mission before Roman Catholic Church in Los Angeles. We demonstrated together against the war in El Salvador. He studied the Bible, La Pacifica. And Greg was always talking about his passion for the youth growing up in his parish neighborhood. And so in 1988, he started Homeboy Industry, which has always done and is doing amazing work. I always started sending a check. This year, Greg began his solicitation by recounting the story of one of the homeboys named Benji. It goes like this. Benji told me about his story, an older Russo who was a lifer and locked up for many years. In the morning, Benji would greet the older gentleman and say, "How you doing?" The old guy would always say, "Sometimes you, and sometimes me." It took a long time before Benji finally asked his cellmate to explain the cryptic response. The Russo pulled up a couple noodles. "You see, dog, sometimes I have a couple noodles, and you don't. Sometimes you have a couple noodles, and I don't. Sometimes me, sometimes you, always us." The story in the Gospel lesson that read this morning is not another parable about the kingdom of God, like the one we read last week about the count, or the monk the week before. This story is a fulfillment of the Last Judgment. It is a story about Jesus returning to judge the earth as a king in his world. And it is a story about God's concern for the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, and those in prison. The story is about Judgment Town when good people, the thief, are separated from bad people, the goat. The message is that at Judgment Time, the thief, the good guy, do not recognize that by having served the poor, they were serving Christ. And they are rewarded. The goat, on the other hand, the bad guy, do not realize that by serving the poor, they were not serving Christ. And they are just a curse. And Luther was commanded to depart from Jesus, into the eternal fire, prepared by the devil and his angels. When I was younger, there was a part of me that really liked this story. I took it quite literally. It may explain my dual vocation as both a priest and a socialist. Now, I always want to use this story as a fundraising tool from time to time. I never did what I really wanted to do. As I grew and studied the scripture more, I was troubled by the portrayal of Jesus as a capricious king, pronouncing some people good and some people bad, according to a system which no one, not the thief, and not the goat, understood the criteria that the judgment would be based on. How is this fair? I must say this story of judgment, told only in Matthew's gospel, doesn't seem to be too consistent with the teachings of Jesus, who proclaimed that God is a loving, forgiving Father, not a cruel, capricious king who separated the sheep from goats. There is another story about the judgment that I find more comforting. I think so when I was a child, and as an adult, I think it still has something to say to us. This one, however, is not in the Bible. And yet I find it more consistent with the gospel message than Matthew's story. It is in the last book of the Chronicles of Narnia, by the 20th century late theologian C.S. Lewis. Incidentally, November 22nd, today, is the 57th anniversary of Lewis' death. The Episcopal Church remembers and celebrates this anniversary whenever it does not fall on Sunday. It is also, by the way, the 57th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. But that's all right. In the book, The Last Battle, Lewis imagines the world of Narnia coming to an end in a horrible destructive battle. In this battle, both children and dwarfs are captured and thrown together into a dark, locked stable. After some time in this dark, dense, locked stable, the children discover that the stable is not locked as they first thought. They always be free to leave. When the children do leave, they encounter a world of love, of flowers, and of fresh, bright fruit, hanging from the trees. And from the outside, they realize that the symbol is not there at all. The only thing remaining is the door. The children return to the stable and realize that the dwarves are sitting as if the stable was still there. They cannot see the beautiful world all around them, but they believe they are still in that dark, dense, smelly, locked stable. oh, the poor thing, this is dreadful, said one of the children in the meeting. Don't you hide on here? He stooped and picked some wild violets. Listen, Lord, he said, even if your eyes are wrong, perhaps your nose is all right, and you can smell that. He leaned across and held the fresh, clear flowers. The table was ugly and ugly. But he had to jump back quickly in order to avoid a blow from his paws with a stick. No, dying trouble. How dare you? What do you mean by throwing a lot of filthy table litter into my face? I know it's a pistol in the tree. So are you? And then Aslan, the great lion, the substitute of the movie. Aslan, said Lucy to her ears, could you? Would you? Do something to this poor boy? Dear, said Aslan, I will show you both what I've done and what I cannot do. The lion provides a bundle, a bunch of food and drink for the dwarf. But they could not see near closely and believed that the children would find this trip one, and that all these children's stories which children tell are nothing but humbug. Well, at any rate, the boys say, there is no humbug here. We haven't let anyone take our dream. The dwarf are for the dwarf. You see, said Alan, they will not let us help them. They have chosen cunning instead of belief. Their prison is only in their own mind. Yet they are in that prison, and so afraid to be taken in that they cannot be taken off. This is a prepared question that I find more helpful. As someone who lived through my life with a soul that I was not good enough, not attractive enough, not strong enough, or not smart enough, I know the prison slash stable of self-judgment. Well, most of my life. Maybe a few of you from time to time, but we need to know about my life either. For those of you who live in this world, without self-judgment, let me tell you that the story of self-judgment appears every bit as real as the stable did to the dwarf. For me, the only way I'll reach the world in which I am enough is when others reach out in the name of God to tell me that I'm enough and to love me as if I were enough. Of course, I have to go and hear their message, which is truly a message of the kingdom where Jesus is the king. In that kingdom, there are no judgments to fight. But Jesus only wants us to care for each other and love each other in God's name. The Rocco holds out a cup of noodles. The sea dog. Sometimes I have a cup of noodles, and you don't. Sometimes you do, and I don't. Sometimes me, sometimes you, always us. In another context, American novelist James Baldwin called this us achieving ourselves. That is truly the kingdom of God. The name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.